This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the county result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. And you can also get reward points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You're listening to the Scarf Pagara War, part of the TalkSport Fan Network. And charity partners with Mentel. For county fans, by county fans.
Hello and welcome to episode 28 of the Courtyard Club Call, where we take a deep dive into this weekend's game. Well, as it was Monday's game. Because of Sky, everything got screwed up. Nobody knew where they was. Geordie Hatter was on at 5:15 in the afternoon. He's normally on in the morning. And we will talk about the Crawley draw last night. So first things first, as you can tell, it's me, Waggy. I'm joined, as ever, by Dan. How are we doing, Dan? You okay?
Yeah, not too bad.
Good. And as it's me in charge, obviously, Russ is busy with his proper job. So this week, after making his fan guest debut on the Wednesday show, and now able to talk county with people that will actually listen, it's Jimmy Harmer. Hi, Jimmy. How are you doing?
And hey, guys.
To the club call.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Good, good, good. So we'll do the usual. We'll go through the lineup just as it's shown on FOTMob, because I think I'd like to have a bit of a discussion about formation, because I don't think it was crystal clear. There was a lot of ideas being flung around last night, so we'll go into that after we've done the lineup. We'll talk about first half, talk about second half. We will talk about man of the match and then ref watch. So I will go off the starting lineup as it's shown on FOTMob, which is obviously our encyclopedia of all things county for the club call. So we have Ben Hinchliffe in nets, Kane, Horsfall, Pye, Torrey, Bailey, Camps, Sarsavic, Richards, Wotton, and Olafi. Did either of you get 11 out of 11?
No, I've not been spot on for weeks, to be honest. Richards was obviously the surprise for me, and probably yep. Bailey as well, to be honest. I didn't expect Bailey to start and didn't expect Richards to start, in all fairness.
I'm with you, Dan. I didn't have Richards or Bailey. I don't think anybody would have had Richards and Bailey in their starting 11. So fair play to anybody that did on FanHub.
I think there's a few people I've seen on Twitter that put Richards in because of his second half performance against Salford. Yeah, I wasn't sure. I wondered whether it was going to be Bailey or Hippo. I thought it was going to be either of those as a left footer. So I think, apart from that, I had Wotton off and Madden on. So I think I only got 8. I've not checked it because I know I was nowhere near. Yeah, I think Richard starting from the start was quite a surprise. And Bailey. So what formation do you think we started with? Because FOTMob is telling me that we were playing a 4-3-1-2, but I didn't see it as that. Mm. It was definitely a back four. I'm pretty sure it was a back four. And then for me, it was either we were playing like a 2-2-2 or we was playing more of a 2-1-3 for those front. It looked as if we had Bailey and Camps sitting in front of the defence. And then I think we had Sars sat sort of middle of the park, maybe a bit more advanced, Wotton playing through the middle, Alafi on the left and Richards on the right. And I think Richards sort of dropping into the centre around next to Sars. That was the way that I saw it starting out. I don't know what you guys said, because there was about three or four different formations that they seemed to even, I don't think John Kieran knew exactly what we were setting up with. What did you guys reckon?
I thought it was a 4-3-3.
Right.
Tanto was hugging the left, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And then Richards was trying to get up on that right hand side with Wotton sort of the target man through the middle. But you're right, Richards was definitely dropping off more than Tanto was. So Tanto was almost told to stay up high, hug that left wing, but Richards was told to help back in midfield.
Yeah.
It was an odd formation, but Dave likes doing this. He sort of likes confusing us, doesn't he?
He does.
He does his homework, though, does he? He's obviously seen a weakness in their lineup, and like you say, he mentions a lot. He analysed games and looked for their weakness to go up against our strengths, and obviously he's seen something on that side of the pitch and thought that Alafi obviously could utilise his strengths against the weakness that he's seen. Like I say, as he normally does, it's these formations with the ball and without the ball. It was fluid at certain points, weren't it? It was fluid, but it was quite clear that something wasn't clicking or they weren't doing what they were instructed to do.
What do we think of Dave's sort of tactic of, because he does say this a lot in his post-match interviews, that he tries to match up with what they're doing, or he sees weaknesses in what they're doing. Do we think that helps the players, or do we think we should be, we've got better players than you. You try and sort of counter what we're doing?
I think it depends on the level. It's all about levels, and we've discussed it before about the levels. I think when you go up the divisions, I think, and you have a better level of player that have got a bit more game intelligence, I think that is the difference maker. The problem is, in all fairness, and I think a little bit with Crawley, you could see with Crawley last night that they wanted to play football. They had a philosophy from the manager and they were going to stick to that. They just didn't have the players to actually execute the philosophy and the game plan was for them, And we, started playing silly errors and mistakes and stuff like that. And I just think I'm happy with the philosophy and the way that Challoner wants to play football. And I just don't think at times he's got the level of player to do it for him.
That's a fair point.
Yeah, I mean, when we went on that 12-game unbeaten run, we basically played pretty much the same. I know we were playing the same players, but we played the same formation, didn't we? And I think we looked good. I think at home we should play the way that we want to play. We should stick to our, 4-3-1-2, our whatever system is best for us. And then I think away from home, I think you're right. I think we need to adapt to how they play, because, as you say, going into the first half, you could see that they were playing out from the back, and I thought they were quite good at semi-beating our high press. Mm-hmm. They didn't seem to panic in that first sort of 15, 20 minutes or the first half. They were still playing it around and passing it and passing it and passing it, weren't they, to get through our initial press and getting it into midfield. Now, they just didn't look that threatening after that. They seemed to lose the way, didn't they? That was my take on the way that they were playing.
Yeah,
I was pretty impressed with them. I mean, we've obviously seen Salford with their tactics up to Smith. I was pretty impressed with them. I quite, if you can say this, I quite enjoyed watching the way that they played football. It was nice seeing two teams that actually want to pass the ball for a change, because in League Two you don't always see that, do you? So,
yeah, and the pitch was decent for it as well, wasn't it? The pitch looked pretty decent on the stream.
Yeah, although Kane managed to blame the pitch at least once, didn't he? He did the old thing of, oh, I've just knocked it out of play, I'm going to look down at the pitch and blame it on that.
Yeah, there was a lot of misplaced passes and stuff, wasn't there? Simple passes in the first half. I mean, we'll just go through some stats, as we were saying, about them playing the ball out from the back and stuff. The first half, we were at 60% possession for them, 40% for us. Expected goals, 0.42 for them, 0.35 for us. Both had total shots of 6. They obviously had one big chance absolutely missed from Maguire. That was an absolutely free header, about 16 minutes, I think, was that. And he just absolutely put it well, so wide. It was ridiculous.
I've not even seen that, guys. I was making a cup of tea for my daughter and I thought, it's okay, I'll see it on the highlights. It wasn't even on Sky's highlights. No, I need to wait until like the county highlights come on.
Yeah.
This was supposed to be like the biggest chance ever.
It was unbelievable. He was probably level with the back post and he managed to head it, and I think it hit the 18-yard line of the area as it crossed out. So there was that, and then Hinchliffe, I mean, the two sort of the first 10 minutes where he kicked it against the player's back, managed to bounce back to him, and no danger there. And then the other one, obviously, with the clearance that came back to him and he put it straight to their player, who absolutely ballooned that one, didn't he? Put it out for a throw-in.
It's a tricky one, that though, isn't it?
And I think John Kieran said it as well, that he had time to compose himself or look for a pass to make it better. But I suppose when it's like that, it's the rush of blood.
It's a rush of blood, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But I think that was the story of the first half, when it's sloppiness.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, it was just regardless, you know, Hinchliffe, same again, trying to beat a player out in the left-back position. And got it all wrong, and it was just sloppiness all across the pitch. And it's a little bit like an infection. It just sort of seemed to spread from Hinchliffe in that first few minutes. Mm. You know, touches going away, passes going away. We'd win the ball back and then give it away straight away. The next touch, and it just, you know, I thought that first half was like watching a National League game.
Yeah,
I know that both teams were trying to play football, but the quality of the gameplay was just not, it was poor, as in the amount of balls that were given away, and the sloppy touches and sloppy passes, basically, I thought.
I think the problem that Charlie's got compared to the teams that we've sort of really enjoyed watching, whether it was in the National League, whether it's the 12-game running streak, the 12-game winning streak, is that he's had a settled team and relatively small squad to choose from. The problem he's got now, he's got loan players coming in, he's got free transfers, players haven't played in certain positions with each other before, and I think they're just really struggling to play as a team.
Well, I think you're right. I think that's, you know, it comes back to Bailey, because, you know, I wouldn't have saw Bailey starting the game after obviously being dragged off at half-time against Salford on Thursday. And the fact that the role that he was asked to play was seemed to be more of a defensive midfielder, sort of hurry, scurry, you know, to get into people's faces. And that's not normally his role. And the first half, I thought he really, really struggled.
Yeah.
Second half, he sort of come back to life. And I thought the fact that he improved in the second half made Camps look a better player. And Camp started winning interceptions and picking the ball up and started carrying the ball. But yeah, it's a really, really hard one, because, like you say, you know, for me, that was a game. If you put a Will Collar in that midfield, or even Powell, you know, I think we would have gone up another level and would have easily won that game.
Yeah, spot on.
Yeah, I think you can tell that from the passes stats for the first half. I mean, they had 212 passes, 163 accurate passes, so that's 77%. We only had 144, but we only had 96 accurate, which is only 67%. So I just think there was far too many passes just going astray. Simple, easy passes that just didn't seem to find the intended target or whatever. But we still had a... first half was the Camp's chance, wasn't it, where he went past three or four players. I think he had a bit of a rush of the blood. I think he should.
Well, I think that's it sort of annoyed them, didn't it? Because that the one where they thought it was out of touch on the touchline? And
it wasn't out of touch.
Yeah. And it's, Yeah, I mean, same again. Everyone else has stopped, and he's took advantage and played to the whistle, as they say, and carried on and got his shot away. And, you know,
he's got to pass it to Tanto, though, surely, at that point.
Yeah,
Tanto was on his own.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you either score or you pass it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he did hit the post. But
he did hit the post. Maybe I'm being harsh.
But like you say, there's very few games, I think, we've covered this season where County have been outpassed. And this was one of the games, actually, overall, that we've actually probably have had more passes than us, 372 against our 338. And that doesn't happen. So, you know, you can see that, like I say, Crawley were trying to play good football. I just, like I say, I just don't think they have the players to do it. But if they, you know, they're one of the, a team for me, if they had a few decent players in that side, then, you know, they go from a top 10 team to a top 5 very quickly.
Mm. Yeah, fair enough. Anything else that stood out for the first half from either of you?
I guess you also had the chance for Camps sort of on the 44th minute, I think it was, just before half time. And he sort of broke forward and he hit it just wide of the keeper's post. I thought that was in. I really did. But he was trying his best to get up, wasn't he, and support the attack.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, Camps was probably the only bright spark in that whole game, or even especially the first half, that he looked like Camps of old, basically, sort of off the leash a little bit and getting the ball and breaking the lines. And he was more influential than you'd say Sarcevic or Bailey was at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, into the second half, no substitutes for either team. The biggest thing that I saw was Alafi and Richards swap sides, and I think instantly that made it a more balanced team. Alafi looked a lot better on the right hand side. Richards looked a hell of a lot better on that left hand side. I think he was a little innocuous in the first half. I don't think he was, but again, I think there was that for a lot of players. So did you think of that change, the change of attitude in the second half?
I think it's one of those where Dave has just given them a rollicking again, hasn't he? He sort of alluded to that in his post-match, that he's just getting a bit sick of having to tell the players to pull their socks up at half-time when they should be starting games like they're starting the second half.
Well, I'm going to take the credit for this, for the club call, because I think obviously Challenger's listening to us, especially after the Swindon review, and we said about Lemonade Heavens and Hippolyte, and we would have liked to have seen him switch over just to see how it works for 5-10 minutes. And I think he's obviously listened to us and thought we need to change something without changing the personnel, and he's obviously done it. And it's given them something to think about. They've not reacted. It's given us the front foot and the momentum to sort of like start that half really, really on the front foot. And like I say, the disappointing bit about it all is actually it's taken us, you know, nearly 20 minutes. Is it 20 minutes? 61 minutes. So it's taken us, you know, that amount of time to actually get a goal in the game where really we could have had a goal within the first 5, 6, 7 minutes of that second half.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We looked a lot better, a lot more intensity. As I say, I think that was the other thing disappointing about the first half was you'd have thought that we'd have continued from the way we played in the second half against Salford. But as you say, it's disappointing and frustrating that, again, it takes a half-time rollicking for them to actually get into gear and start playing football the way that they want to play football and have that intensity. They didn't seem to be able to play out. I don't know if we stepped up the press, if we changed the way we were pressing, but they just seemed to... We were on them a lot quicker and we were forcing them to make mistakes.
Energy levels. I thought the second half, the energy levels, especially Bailey, for me, was absolutely, I thought he was really, really good second half.
He was a different player, completely different player. It was bizarre. Like first half, he couldn't pass to a teammate. Like two or three noticeable passes that just went astray, like really easy ones. And I'm thinking, gosh, he's going to be coming off at half time here. But he kept him on, in fairness to him. And as you say, he was great.
Yeah. Second, I thought second half. And the fact that he got better made Camps more influential, I thought, as well. And same against Sarcevic, I thought, started being more influential. And everybody's, I thought, effort and energy levels just, you know, increased. And I'd say that I don't think they could cope with us, to be honest. The momentum, obviously, before we scored, they had a little bit of the ball. But, you know, for the first, till like the 72nd minute, it's all County on the momentum chart. So, yeah, it's just a shame we just didn't get that second goal.
It is. And I mean, their keeper made a couple of decent saves. And I don't know, on commentary, they thought it was Wotton that had scored the goal. But the space that Sars had at that back post, he could have made himself a cup of tea and drank it before a defender got anywhere near him. And then I think to squeeze it into that corner, that near post, I thought there was obviously I couldn't see properly if it got deflection or not, but absolutely superb. And Kane looked a lot better, didn't he, on corners. As soon as we got in, started taking corners, they seemed to be better. Although I did think at first when he'd hit that, because he did hit sort of quite a bit floaty, I thought he'd not done very well. But then with the amount of time and space that Sars had, it was an absolutely superb corner.
Yeah, I mean, was it Sars that had that first header, or was it Wotton who headed it onto Sars? I can't quite remember.
No, it was Sars.
Was it Sars? Yeah, for the goal.
Yeah, it was Sars, yeah.
Oh, was it? Yeah.
It was just, obviously, I think, obviously, there was a game plan there that blockers and runners and a bit of, you know, a magician's sleight of hand with, obviously, all the runners are going into it. Obviously, a Crawley player's hit the deck. They've all sort of put their hands up wanting a foul. And, obviously, they've completely switched off to Sars at the back post, and he's like you say, he's had enough time actually, in fairness, to bring it down and hit it.
Yeah,
never mind, he's got so much time. And like you say, the goalkeeper, how's that got in? Because it actually looked like the goalkeeper's saved it. It looks very similar to actually the Tanto's chance where, same here, and his Tanto was so unlucky because the goalkeeper's just so. Big old unit as he was, managed to get himself quite down and spread himself and get it off the line. But this chance, he's obviously seen that he's actually put it into the net himself. It sort of hit him and gone into the net. But and at that point, it was just relief, to be honest. It was a big relief. And same again, after we scored, we seemed to step it up again. You know, we were quite, you know, for 10 minutes after we scored, we're dominant. And the momentum on Fot Mob shows you that as well. Obviously, around about the 72nd minute, they started to get a foothold back in the game. I know people will start criticising Challoner for his substitutions, that, you know, why we made them when we have. Obviously, as soon as we scored, Paddy Madden came on for Richards, which, in all fairness, regardless if we scored or not, I think that would have happened around the 60th minute mark. I think we said that he's rather, at the moment, he's one to play the last 30 minutes, or he's the one that's start and play 60 minutes.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Away days with County are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at Edgeley Park. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
So
I thought Paddy did well as well, to be fair. I think you want an old head coming on when you're 1-0 up away from home. I think that was the right decision, even though Richards had sort of played pretty well.
Yeah, I thought it was strange to do it straight after the goal. I thought they'd give it a few more minutes to sort of settle down a bit. But as you say, Paddy, old head, knows what he's doing. He's got good control, pass the ball, his vision, everything is there. So you could sort of understand the substitution. As you say, I think difference against Crawley than against Salford, when we went 2-2 with Salford, we seemed to drop off. But as Dan's just said, we did seem to keep the intensity, didn't we, for another 10, 15 minutes. And then sort of thinking, all right, well, maybe we need to make some changes. We need to maybe shore it up a little bit because they brought a couple of guys on, didn't they? And they looked like they went to a three up top,
yeah,
I think. And you could see that they were starting to get a bit of momentum. So, again, bringing Byrne on for Bailey to give us go to a back five, match them up. Should have given us a bit more, a bit more steady, and then we still have players that could play it. And then I think, as Chaloner said, on the 82nd minute, bringing Kane and Alafi off. At the time, I was a bit like, "Why are we doing that?" It seemed quite a negative change. But then when you listen to him, and he said that, if Kane had said anything around the 77th minute mark, he'd have come off instead of Bailey coming off. And then, as you say, we've only got that one last chance to make any changes. So I think that was why he brought Alafi off and put Lemonet Evans on, because again, he's still got some pace and stuff, hasn't he? So there was still hopefully an outlet there. And we sort of lost the impetus, didn't we? But again, it's them trying to push for an equaliser. And that obviously comes in the 83rd minute. What did we make of the goal?
I felt sorry for Touré because he'd had a pretty solid game. He'd made a great block coming in around the 75-minute mark. He'd been decent on the ball, I thought. He'd been getting forward pretty well as well to support when Tanto was on the left in the first half. So I was thinking, great, this is Touré playing well away from home, which is what we've become accustomed to. And I was thinking, great, brilliant. But such a shame that he just shanked that clearance. Because after that, it was just inevitable, wasn't it? I just thought, oh, this is going to go in now.
Yeah, but again, he didn't deal with it before it bounced. No. And then it wasn't a very good clearance. I would have thought he'd have tried hooking it the other way to put it out for a throw or put it out for a corner. Unfortunately, obviously, drops back into the 18-yard line. Pye misses a chance, misses a tackle as well, and Horsfall doesn't follow the man. So it was a bad clearance.
Cracking finish, though, wasn't it?
I mean, yeah. But when you get a striker in, I think that was his 10th goal of the season, and you get somebody in form that gets into that position, then you'd be disappointed if you don't score, to be honest.
We wanted Lawrence Maguire there, didn't we, really? I think he'd have spooned it over.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it was difficult to take because, as you say, they'd offered absolutely nothing really in that second half. And it was just gut wrenching. And then you'd sort of thought, with the changes that we've made, we've not really got the outball, or we've not got the creativity that we've had on the pitch building up to that.
The key there was when it was taking Bailey off. Mm. I think once you took Bailey, we can understand why he's doing it, because like I say, they were building up momentum and decided to go match up at the back. But I think when Bailey came off, that really took away that energy in that middle of midfield. And yes, you pulled Camps back a little bit, but same again, it seemed to go, obviously they switched from obviously playing football to going bypassing the midfield. But we started doing the same, unfortunately, when we took Bailey off. We started going long on everything, where I think actually the midfield battle, because obviously the chap who scored their goal was a midfielder. He weren't like the point man, the target man, even though for me it was very much like a Liam Dickinson goal, I thought.
Yeah.
You know, that's the sort of goal that we've seen Liam Dickinson used to score for us, where, like you say, he, a little bit of skill to get in the space and no messing about, just puts his foot through it. You know, it goes high, wide and handsome, and, you know, it's now circling round on the M25 or it rips the back of the net. And, you know, if you take your shots, you take a chance, then you can't, if he puts it in the back of the net like that, you can't knock him. But with Toure, it's a shame that he's got Ethan Pye alongside him. What Toure needs, if he was alongside, as a fullback, if he was alongside someone like Mike Flynn or Jim Gannon, somebody that would actually marshal him and talk to him constantly and giving him the confidence to get through the games, I think you'd see a better player.
But he's not young himself, though, is he? So, I mean, he's what?
No, he's not.
29 or something, so you sort of want him to be doing the opposite. You want him to be marshalling Pye almost.
Exactly. But he's obviously lacking so much in confidence that he needs somebody that is going to marshal him and can, you know, get him through the game a little bit. And like you say, as much as I think Ethan Pye is absolutely a Rolls Royce of a player, he's not. He's concentrating on his own game, in all fairness. And I just think, if I say, if he's alongside of a more experienced pro, I think he gets through the game and he gets, you know, communication as well. You know, same again. Somebody just needs to say, put it out to him, instead of, you know, trying to hook it or play at times. And it's just simple communication at times.
But even though we conceded that, we still...
Sorry, go on, Jimmy.
All I was going to say is that even though we conceded it, we did actually still have a chance to win the game. Because Wootton had that header. I know he had to create a lot of power from like a dropping ball, but he headed it right at the keeper. Do you remember? It was like 89th minute or something. I was thinking, God, if you just put that in the top corner, the keeper just wasn't getting it downwards. Massive
goalkeeper
chance.
At 6'5". Yeah. You know, you don't want to be heading anything that's going to be shoulder head height, because he's there. He's not going to do anything. You head it down so it's near. He's rather going to try and save it with his feet. Otherwise, he's never going to get down quick enough. But in all fairness, without making scapegoats, Wootton for me is a player that when you look at his form, he's really... We all talk about the team's come off the boil or off the rail since New Year. Well, Wootton hasn't scored a goal this calendar year. He's got one assist. We know that he works hard for the team. We know he's fouled a lot, and we know he does a lot of things that go that don't show up on stats. But for your point man and your main target man, and he's not scored this calendar year, we need not just him but other players as well, but that just isn't good enough.
Yeah, I think he had one of his better games though. I think his touch, because we seem to be playing a lot to his feet, and his hold up play, I think, was quite good. It was quite good last night.
I agree. I think that was a big difference from like the previous few games. Yeah. We've been playing the ball a bit lower into him, and yeah, he was actually recycling the ball pretty well and sort of bringing players in. He didn't seem to get into too many tussles. He gave away the odd free kick, I think, but not like the 10 or 15 that we've been seeing recently, where you're just thinking, oh my gosh.
Absolutely.
I thought he did okay last night.
Yeah. Any other comments around the second half?
I don't want to highlight it too much, but Toure almost gifted them a winner in the 94th minute. He did another poor clearance. So the ball came to him, it sort of bounced in front of him, and he sort of tried to hook it away. He hooked it right to Lawrence Maguire, who had time to settle himself, and he ended up blazing it like high and wide. We could have lost that game from two poor clearances. So I think it probably does tie into this confidence thing. And maybe he had that other clearance in the back of his mind, and he And that's what made him just, again, shank it slightly, didn't get a clean contact on it. So, and I was actually going to move on to what we're thinking of for MK Dons, but we can do that after if you want. But very quickly, I wonder whether he'll just put Pai on the left, maybe, or maybe we'll go to a back three and he'll put Hippolyte on the left. So Pai will be part of a centre back sort of three of Burn and Horsfall. And just take Torre out of it. It's going to be a highly charged game, that MK Dons game. And I just wonder whether he just needs taken out of it, but we'll see.
Yeah, I thought it was quite funny. And I think John Kieran alluded to it as well, that their player of the match was Maguire.
It was hilarious, yeah.
but again, I mean, looking on FotMob, he was the second highest rated player on their side. But anyway, on our side, we had... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of our starting 11 were all above 7. The player of the match from FotMob was Sars. He got an 8.3 score. Kane had a 7.9, Camps 7.5, Pai 7.4, Richard 7.3, and then Horsfall and Wotton both at 7.1. Do you agree that the man of the match of FotMob was Sars, or did you think anybody else from our side deserved it more, or was
I thought Camps, to be honest. I thought Camps was head and shoulders above most of them, to be honest. Same again, would you have said Alafi had a worse game than Toure? I don't think he did. But obviously FotMob reckon he did. And same in Bailey, second half until he came off, I thought was the difference for us. Like I say, it's a bit of a weird one, but yeah, no, for me, Camps. Because I say, first half, I thought Sarcevic was quite sloppy, to be honest, on the ball, but so was a lot of them. He's took his goal, his chances, but like you say, he's had other chances as well, I thought. But yeah, Camps for me.
Camps for me as well, for his overall play.
Yeah. Oh, that's fair enough. And then the last one for last night, ref watch. What do we think of the referee? Good, bad, indifferent?
I thought he did really well. I thought he let the game flow. He wasn't buying any of the soft sort of how I've just been, like my toenail's just been kicked or something. A couple of times I noticed their players went down, he just waved it on. It was great. He did well.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there was obviously the same thing. They were obviously that Gordon was targeting Toure, and every time he got near him or coughed on him, Gordon went down. Screaming for a free kick and a yellow card. And like I say, the referee weren't going to get in that involved in that game. Obviously, their bench, it seemed, obviously, there was a lot of aggro with their bench, obviously, towards the referee and their manager getting booked. And I believe at the end of the game, there was a bit of arguments between their bench and our bench.
Yeah, well. He was arguing with... Well, say again, Dave Challoner said it in his post-match that Clint Hill and... their manager, Lindsay, they were at each other for the entire game. They seemed to be arguing quite a lot. But I did notice right at the end that he came on the field and started basically having a slanging match with Pai, which I think quite unprofessional for a manager to come on and start having a go at Pai, because I think Paddy Madden came and stepped across. And I think because he was saying about there was a handball in the very, very end that they should have had a penalty, that Pai has basically... hand passed it to one of the other defenders to clear the ball.
Okay.
I didn't see that. I didn't notice it during the game, and I didn't notice it in the 2 minute EFL highlights video that's been shown.
I thought it was related. I thought it sort of initially it was related to the supposed arm in the face that he gave to their goal scorer. And he was annoyed that it should have been a sending off. I wondered whether it was that at the time, but that's interesting. No, I didn't see any handball or anything.
Yeah, we'll carry on. I was saying there was an incident with Pai, weren't there, where he's coming back.
Yeah, sorry, Jimmy, you just dropped off a second.
Oh, did I drop off? Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
That's yeah, right. I can hear you now, mate.
Amazing. Yeah. Good.
So, yeah. So, yeah, I think it was a bit unprofessional. I think he was one of the better referees that we've had this season. I don't know if we've... Hopefully, we'll have him again before the end of the season because, yeah, I think he was decent.
Yeah. No, like I say, for us, he let the game play. And like I say, after, obviously, the Battle of Salford, it was actually quite nice that a sort of game of football broke out in this one. So, yeah, like I say, you weren't... He didn't do anything wrong. So, you know, I can't say he weren't a good ref because, for me, he got all the key decisions right.
Mm.
You know, they could argue about, obviously, Camps' chance where he's come down the line and has it gone out or stayed in. But there's a linesman on that side. So he's not going to rule on that when he's got a linesman that's only feet away from it and looking straight down the line at it, regardless if they get upset about it or not. So, yeah, no, I thought he weren't too bad at all.
The only, I think, final comment, not just on the overall match, I thought we made them, considering they're the form team, I thought we made them look quite ordinary.
Well, this is what, was it 1 point gain or 2 points drop type scenario? Because, you know, it's that's the hard part. You know, we all know, and I felt after that game a little bit like after the playoff final, just absolutely sort of numb with it. Just that, because it was a game that we should have won and could have won and was there to be won. And I just felt quite, when they scored that equaliser.
Yeah.
I think if you take it as a single game, it's 1 point gained. But because of our current form and the number of draws that we're getting, and we're seeing other teams just sort of slowly reel us in, I'm with you, Dan. I did feel like low after that game, thinking, what if we lose to MK now? We've been Wrexham, Wimmer and fourth. Have we got the ability to get us back into that top three? So, yeah, it's hard. It's a massive game on Saturday.
Yeah, big game on Saturday in front of the cameras again. Well, as I say, I think we've got enough about us. We're at home. We'll have the crowd behind us. They should bring as many as MK Dons would bring. But as you say, they've got decent form. So I can see it being a good game. And I think they will go at us. That's the way I think they'll play. And I think that, again, that suits us. If we get, we can create chances, we'll start putting chances away. So, I felt 2 points dropped last night, I'll be honest. But as you say, in the long run, it might be a point gained.
And as you've mentioned before, the last time we drew with Crawley, we went on a little bit of a run. So, we hope, I still think it's in our own hands. I think, same again, as daft as it sounds, we knew the form for our last 9 games, for me, is enough. If we have that same form or get the same number of points in our last 9 games, then what we do in our next 9 games, that will be enough to get us over the line. Okay. I personally think. It's not... It's still in our own hands. Like I say, we've still got more away games than home games to play. And like I say, I think we are a better team away from home. The difference is now that MK Dons game has turned into a game of must win opposed to must not lose.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like you say, what we've allowed to do is the pack to catch up. And, when you lost a game, it meant you dropped from first to second, then second to third. Well, now it means you drop from second to fourth. And obviously, fourth doesn't win you any prizes.
Yep. Anything else to add, Jimmy? If not, we'll wrap up there.
I'm just waiting on Powell and Crowsdale coming back. I just think they give us so much more solidity in midfield. So fingers crossed they come back sooner rather than later.
Yeah, hopefully you did say they'll be in contention for Saturday's game. So we'll just say have to wait and see. But yeah, that'll be decent. Just on a little side note, that on this day, Tuesday the 19th of March 2002, was when we beat City 2-1 with John Hardiker scoring both goals. So it's just one for the historical people out there. I was at that game and it was absolutely brilliant.
It was brilliant, wasn't it? I was there as well.
Forget all about yesterday's game and just remember the highlight. Watch the highlights.
That, yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
So that's it from this week's club call. I will be back with Russ tomorrow night, Wednesday night, for the live show. Obviously, like, subscribe, comment, do whatever you do, because this is going out straight away to patrons. And then later in the week, it'll be on a free issue.
Tom Fletcher, the fan guest for tomorrow night's show.
Sorry, say that again?
Tom Fletcher is the fan guest for tomorrow's night show.
Okay. And yeah, our charity partners for this year are Mentel. So again, we do have a podcast with Matt Baxter from there. I'm pretty sure Russ has recorded another one. It's not been released yet. And we've also got the chat with the co-op going through the meeting that they had with the club a few weeks ago. If you've not listened to that, have a listen. That's a good listen as well. Apart from that, all I've got to say is cheers. Thank you, gents. And we will speak shortly. Cheers now.
Bye.
Cheers, Waggy.
It's the 90th minute, all your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.